all of us to see is that in the whole scriptures, God's goal is to gain his kingdom on this earth. I hope that through the last three meetings, all of the saints who are at the meetings can really realize how important the matter of the kingdom is. So the Bible is not just a book concerning any kind of a doctrine, but it is a book showing us who this wonderful God is and what his purpose is. So as we have seen, right in the first chapter of the Bible, immediately the Lord went to the point with us. He didn't waste any time. Right, and so we should also not waste any time, but go right to the point. So there we see that because of such a big problem in this universe, God's goal is to regain his control in the whole universe and to establish his kingdom, especially on this earth. And remember the Lord's Prayer. Everybody knows the Lord's Prayer. Everybody almost memorized it, right? I believe everybody in this room knows Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, etc., etc., right? Victoria, you must have learned that too, right? But the first thing the Lord taught his disciples to pray is that his name be glorified on earth as in heaven. His kingdom come. His kingdom come. God desires to see his kingdom coming to this earth. Believe the word of God. This earth, where the Lord comes back, is going to be the center of the universe, where the Lord will be King of kings and Lord of lords, to rule over the nations and to rule over the whole universe. That's why the earth is very important and very, very special. You should realize this. Even in Psalm 2, it is clearly written, I think for the sake of some of you, let's go to Psalm 2. Let's go to Psalm 2, right in the very beginning of the Psalms. In this wonderful Psalms, right, it says, the nations were raging, and the peoples were plotting against the Lord. Even the kings of the earth, verse 2, they set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointing, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. So when the Lord came the first time to this earth, the whole world was rising against him. Yes. Not just the Gentile world, but the Jews themselves. Judaism. Supposedly to be God's people, they rose against the Lord and tried to get rid of him. And the Lord spoke in parables, saying, this people says, here comes the heir. Let's get rid of him. Let's get rid of him. So you can really see the whole world under the hands of the evil one. They try to get rid of the Lord. Why? Because they know the Lord came as the king to really regain his kingdom on this earth. This is very important for us to see. Right? But then it says here, he who sits in the heaven shall laugh. The Lord is laughing. How can you be against him? The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet, the Lord said, God said, I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. This is God's response. I have set my king. Christ is not only the Messiah, but the anointed king. And it fulfilled Zechariah chapter 9. Behold, your king cometh. But in his first coming, he didn't come to rule yet. He comes bringing in salvation. Because how can he rule without gaining his people? He has to gain his people. How can a king not have a people? It's not possible. So the first coming of the king is to bring salvation. And then to prepare his people to build up a kingdom. Then he will come the second time to bring his kingdom of peace and righteousness to this earth. Okay. So the Bible tells us of the two comings of the Lord, the Messiah, the anointed one, the anointed king. His first coming and his second coming. His first coming, let us tell, before we go to Zechariah, let us continue with Psalm 2. I will declare the decree, God says. The Lord has said to me, you, the Lord Jesus, you are my son. Today, the day of resurrection, I have begotten you. Verse 7. Now, ask of me, and I will give you the heavens for your inheritance. How about that? No? What? The nations. Praise the Lord. The Lord is going to inherit all the nations. And the ends of, again, the heavens for your possession. No? No. The ends of the earth. And you shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, therefore, be wise, O kings, and be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son. Don't be against him. Better kiss him. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. And you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. Now, this is talking about the Lord who is going to come back the same time to rule over all the nations and to possess the uttermost part of the earth. Right. So, we as the believers, we are expecting the Lord to come back the second time to rule here on this earth. Now, let us go to Revelation to show you that we, the believers, we will be co-kings with the Lord. Revelation chapter 1. Let us go firstly to Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Verses 5 is the greetings from the Lord Jesus Christ, firstly from the Father, then from the spirits. Now, verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. Remember, this day I have begotten you. So the Lord became the firstborn, the only begotten Son. As God incarnated to be a man and was begotten to be the firstborn son in resurrection, so that we, the believers, can be the many brethren. Because if he's the only begotten son, then he's the only one. But now he became the firstborn so that we can be the many brethren. Now, the firstborn from the dead as the head of the church and the ruler over the kings of the earth, praise the Lord, is the ruler. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Is that the end? Is there a period there? No period? A comma. Why is there a comma? Because there's more. There's more. Definitely there's more. What more? What more do you want us being saved? And right, he washed us from your sins in his own blood. Isn't it good? Not enough. What is more there?
Has made us kings and priests to his God and Father.
Wow. Make you what?
Kings and priests.
That's why this morning we said you have a very good family name. His family name is in Chinese called Wang, means king. Well, not a bad family name. King Moses. Not yet. But you are being prepared and constituted to be king. He is making us to be kings. So this is really wonderful. What are you going to rule over? King over what? Over the angels up there? No. We can read further later on. Kings and priests to his Father, to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion. Dominion, the word dominion here definitely refers to the kingship, to his rule, his dominion forever and ever. Behold his coming with clouds, that is his second coming, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Now, let us go on to chapter 3. Chapter 3. Let us read the church to Thyatira. Let us read. Oh, chapter 2. I'm sorry. Let's go to chapter 2. Concerning the church in Thyatira. It says here, verse 26, and he who overcomes, this is God's promise to the saints who overcome, okay? Not just he who believes, but he who overcomes. It's not enough just to believe in the Lord, but now the promise here is made to those who overcome. To him who overcomes and keeps my work until the end, to him I will what? Give power over the nations. Well, this is God's promise. Do you appreciate it? I don't think so. I think many of us will say, what am I going to do with the nations? Give me power over the nations? Well, this is God's plan, the kingdom. To him who overcomes, I will give him to have authority. Power is the authority over the nations. And now Psalm 2 is repeated here. So not just the Lord will rule, but we will be made kings and priests to rule with him. And he, the overcoming one, shall rule them with a rod of iron, and they shall be dashed to pieces, the nations, right? Because of their rebellion, like potter's vessel. This is a quotation from Psalm 2. That means Psalm 2 is not just referring to the king, which is the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, but also referring to you. All of us, if we are faithful to the Lord until the end. And we will rule over the nations with a rod of iron, not plastic. With a rod of iron. And we will dash them to pieces like a potter's clay. You know, human beings are made of clay. Right? So we will deal with them and rule over them This is the Lord's kingdom when he comes back to this earth. The Bible is very consistent. Very, very consistent. As early as Psalm 2, during the time of David, 1,000 years before the Lord came the first time. And now, 2,000 years later after the Lord comes, this is going to be fulfilled. But 3,000 years before the fulfillment, Psalm 2 already tells you what's going to happen. Do you believe that? Oh, you better believe it. Because if it is not God's word, who will know this? So we have to anticipate this, because this is what God wants to give us, right? And in this very last book of the Bible, he not only wash you, cleanse you by his precious blood, now too he's going to make you his co-kings to rule and reign with him. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. And you think that you're going to rule as you are today? No, because the Lord, that's why the Lord has to work on us, has to prepare us, has to really change us, equip us. Otherwise, how are we going to reign with him? Don't think reigning and ruling to be a king is simple. If Moses Toronto voted you to be the prime minister. Okay, forget about the prime minister. What about the mayor of Toronto? Just the mayor. Don't think it's easy to rule over Toronto. It's not easy. Definitely not easy. You need a lot of training, a lot of experience. You need to know so many things to be able to rule properly. And then to be a good mayor, you have to be righteous. How about that? And at the same time be peaceful. And all the time joyful. Not that easy. Definitely it's not easy. So he want to make us kings. So today, that is why the king himself is dwelling within us. And if I have never learned to let him rule within me, how can I rule with him? You think if I'm today rebellious against the Lord, doing everything contrary to him, and when the Lord comes back, he's going to make me rule with him. Oh, he will have a lot of problem with me ruling with him. Then the Lord might as well not come, because when you and I rule this world as we are, this world's not going to be any better. You think so? Because we are not changed, we are not ready. We are not righteous. We are not correct. We are loose. We are not fair. We quarrel, we fight. We do a lot of things. How can we rule the nations and over the nations as we are today? It's not possible. That is why the building of the church, which is his kingdom, is so important today as a preparation for the coming appearing of the millennial kingdom. So it says here, he who overcomes, that's why there's the word overcoming. To overcome what? Overcome a lot of things. Overcome ourselves, overcome the world, overcome the flesh, overcome so few evil things, unrighteous things, overcome, my goodness, our rebellious nature. So look at the Lord. When he came the first time to this earth, he was really perfect. His humanity was perfect. He was fully one with God. He was never rebellious. He learned obedience through sufferings. And Hebrews chapter 2 tells us very clearly, he really learned obedience through suffering. And God made the captain of our salvation perfect through suffering. And he learned obedience. How about you and I? Are we learning obedience today? To live Christ, to listen to him, to say amen to him. When the Lord says stop, you stop. When he says go, you go. Right. That is why the songs of ascent are very practical, very important to me. It's not doctrine. You have to learn. Because if you don't learn today, the Lord says, hey, don't do that, but I say, I like to. And if I told my grandson or my granddaughter, do this, I don't want to, she said, I don't want to. Just 5 years old, she loves to say, I don't want to. Even just 2 years old, she says, do this, no. Eat this, no. I've never seen a favorite word of a one-year-old, two-year-old to say yes. And the favorite word is always no. Eat, no. Come, no. whatever you tell, no. You think we Christians are not like this? Many times the Lord tells us to do something. No. I don't want it. I don't like it. That's what our human nature is all the time. We are just rebellious. So, as such, how can we rule? But praise the Lord, for the Lord was on this earth. He did everything that a father told him to do. How wonderful. He was totally different than we are. That is why he's qualified to rule. Yes. That is why he is the anointed king. I have set my anointed to be king. And then in chapter 3, for example, it says to Laodicea, the very end, he said in verse 21, to him who overcomes, I will grant to, what? Sit with me on my sofa. No? You want to sit in your sofa? Everybody has a sofa. What about the throne? I will grant to sit right with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. How wonderful. There is a qualification. Don't think just anybody can sit on the throne. No, no. The qualification is just like the Lord, he overcame. Not as God, but as a human being, because he became a man. For God to overcome, that is not strange. That is not a surprise at all. But for the Lord Jesus, who became a man like you and me, and to overcome all kinds of temptation, all kinds of hurdles, and difficulties, and challenges, and he overcame. Every single one of them. And he was qualified to sit on the throne of his Father. So, for the Lord to prepare us, the church, as his kingdom, don't think it is easy. That is why you take a look at us Christians today, there's so many problems. So many problems. The Roman Catholicism, to the Greek Orthodox, to the state churches, to all the denominations, goodness. Because we don't have that view. We don't have the concept what the Lord intends to do with us, so we don't care to learn, to exercise, to practice. We're not willing to lower ourselves, just like the Lord did. We never learn submission to the Lord. Yes, we all think we know better than the Lord. So here, praise the Lord, we can rule with the Lord. We are going to reign with Him. And here, when you go to Revelation chapter 20, for example, well, in before chapter 20, let's go to chapter 19. When the Lord comes back, He's going to come back to fight the last battle in the last 3.5 years. And out of His mouth goes His sharp sword, that with it He should strike the nations, because all the armies of the nations are gathered to fight with the Lord in the war of Armageddon. And He Himself will rule over them with a rod of iron. And He Himself will tread the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And He has on His robe and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Wow, wonderful. Quite different than His first coming. His first coming, He came in lowly, riding on a donkey, right? Entering into Jerusalem, bringing in salvation, not ready to reign, but ready to die in His first coming. But in His second coming, He's coming as what? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because now the kingdom is coming. It is time for the kingdom to come. Right? And then, of course, the beast was captured, etc., etc. Then, let's continue to read in chapter 20. Right. The beast, of course, and the false prophets were thrown into the lake of fire. And then it says here in verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, and who had not worshipped the beast or His image. These are the late overcomers in the last 3.5 years, and had not received His mark on their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and what? And reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Praise the Lord. They live and they reign with Christ for 1,000 years. You're going to rule with Christ for 1,000 years. Wonderful. It's an awfully long time, 1,000 years. Okay? So we live just about 80 to 100 years. If you're healthy, maybe 100 years. And if you're faithful in this period of time, my, you're going to reign 1,000 years instead of just 100. Yeah, not a bad return. Eh? It's a good investment. Why not? Bonus. Exactly. We're going to get the bonus. So it's worthwhile, brothers and sisters, to really give yourselves today to the Lord's purpose for His kingdom to be built up in the church. You're going to reign with Him for 1,000 years. Wow. My goodness. And now that He's coming back to you're just about 20-some, right? The investment is even better. suppose the Lord comes back in 15 years, you're just going to be about 35, not even 40 years old. And in this 40 years old, in this last few years, you're faithful to Him. You reign with Him as King for 1,000 years. How about that? Do you think it's worth it? Huh? You sure? Make sure you do it, okay. Make sure you do it. This is what the Word of God says. They are going to rule with Him 1,000 years. Oh, Lord. But the rest of the dead, the unbelievers, did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. Right? And so, what we and all those overcomers who died, they will be experiencing the first or the best resurrection. Right. Not just resurrection, but the best resurrection. Now, verse 5 here, this is the first resurrection, actually the best resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the best or first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with Him 1,000 years. Again, it is mentioned there to make sure you caught it. If you didn't catch it in verse 4, you're going to catch it in verse 6. Okay? You sure? You want that? It's up to you. You make the choice, right? Amen. And this is so wonderful. And after the 1,000 years, the Christians and all the believers who were not qualified here to be a partaker of the kingdom, you have to believe that not all the Christians will be ready. A lot of believers will be caught unawares and surprised because they were taught that you're all right. Once you believe you're saved, you go to heaven. Heaven. They're thinking of a heaven, a place. But the Lord is not talking about the heaven. The Lord is talking about reigning with Him in the millennial kingdom, in the coming kingdom. Then, after the 1,000 years is over, then there is a new heaven and new earth. And during this 1,000 years, the defeated, unfaithful believers, the Lord will deal with them no longer according to grace, but according to His righteousness. In the gospel, as well as Paul's writing, you're saved, yes, but as through fire. Yes. You'll be saved. But you will suffer loss. Loss of what? Dollars? No, you're not going to lose your... you're going to lose all your dollars because it's useless. Useless. Your money, your riches, everything you have gained today in this world is going to be useless at that time. But you're going to lose the reward of the kingdom. And that's a great loss. And on top of that, the Lord will deal with you according to His righteousness. There will be gnashing of teeth, weeping. The Lord said in Luke chapter 12, a servant who knows the will of God and did not do it is going to get beaten with more stripes than a servant who didn't know and didn't do it. So, not only you will not reign with Christ, but you will be. And in other places, it says, when the master, and he comes, and you're beating other servants, and you're mistreating other servants, and fighting, and enjoy the world as an unbeliever, with the unbelievers, he will come and cut you in pieces. Chop, chop. You will be just like hackfleisch. Mince meat. That's what the Word of God says. Sorry. I don't know whether it's literal meaning or not literal meaning or whatever it means, but to be cut into pieces is not good. It doesn't matter whether it's literal or not literal. I don't want to be cut into pieces. How about you, Mom? No thanks. Or the Lord also mentioned, throw him into the outer darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. How about that? You want to? You sure you don't want to? So we all better behave today. Don't say no to him. Don't say, I don't like it. Don't say, I won't do it. You learn to say, amen, Lord. Learn to submit to him. Tell the Lord, Lord, yes, amen. I'll do it. Yeah, I'm one with you, Lord. So then, in the new heaven and new earth, all the believers then will enjoy the blessings of ruling with the Lord. But then that special double portion, that portion in the millennial kingdom, not everyone will be sharing it, because it's a special portion the Lord has reserved as a reward for his faithful believers. That's qualification. Got it? Clear? Not clear? Raise your hands. We all need to see this. Oh, Lord. Don't think, oh, all the believers, they're going to reign with Christ. Yes, yes, but not in a millennial kingdom. And here, if you go all the way to chapter 22, which is the new heavens and the new earth, this is after the millennial kingdom. Concerning the Lord's servants here. Yes. Praise the Lord. In verse 3, it says, and his servants shall serve him. They, all of them, shall see his face, and his name shall be written on their foreheads. There shall be no more night there, no night. They need no lamp, no light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign. For how long?
Forever and ever.
Forever and ever. That's in the new heavens and the new earth. All the believers will partake of that. But before that happens, there's a millennial kingdom for 1,000 years. What are you going to do in 1,000 years if you're not reigning? Don't think you're going to cruise. No, there's no cruise. You're not going on a cruise. And if you do, then there'll be fire all around the cruise. It's very hot. You know, you're complaining about so cold here. You complain about the heat there. So this is the view of the Bible concerning the kingdom. This is the ultimate. This is the final goal that the Lord wants to reach. His kingdom will be here on this earth. For 1,000 years, you should realize, in the millennial kingdom. Let me just draw this again as a view for everybody. Right?
Right.
Huh? No, let me just draw it again. Right? More different view this time. Let me put this here as a new heaven. New heaven and new earth right here. And this is the New Testament age. New Testament age, which is the age of the heavenly kingdom. Heavenly kingdom, right? And remember, the heavenly kingdom has Let me just draw this one and two, okay, to be a little bit more proportional. The heavenly kingdom has two parts. This is the part of grace here. I'll just write a small letter where the Lord is building his church. This is the church age. The church age is actually the prep age for the Lord to build his kingdom. So the building of the church is now. It's today, not later. Then there is the millennial kingdom. I will write the MK, the millennial kingdom here for 1,000 years. This is the appearing of the kingdom, the 1,000 years kingdom here. Right. So this is approximately 2,000 years, right? This is approximately 2,000 years. And before Adam, before the New Testament age, it's about how many years? How many thousand years? 4,000 years. So 4,000 years plus 2,000 is how many years? And plus 1,000 years, how many years? Seven is a very biblical biblical number. Number seven. Praise the Lord. So today we are very close to here now. We're very close to here. So if you see this, then here all the Christians will be here. All believers will be here. But here only the overcoming believers will be here. This is the reward section. This is the reward section. So, praise the Lord. So, this here is the age of the building up of the church, where salvation is free for everybody. But then, the life must grow. So here, you can see the church age. This is the building, the preparation, the transformation work, the dealings, and all that. The Lord is doing his work today. But it's free. It's up to you. If you don't want it, the Lord will never force you. But the fact that the Lord will not force you doesn't mean that you're okay. No. Look, Roman Catholicism, terrible thing. The Lord let them exist. The Lord didn't do anything. Right? There's a lot of bad people on this earth. The Lord didn't send fire every day and consume everybody. There won't be any people left on this earth. If the Lord does that, right? There won't be anybody left. So everybody's free today to do anything. You can be against God. You can be an atheist. You can be a Christian, and yet you don't care for God's purpose. You can do anything you like today. But it doesn't mean that the Lord approves of it. No. There's going to be a judgment when the Lord comes. The Lord is giving you chance after chance to repent. But if you will not repent, then when the Lord comes here, you're going to have a hard time here. So if there is a reward, there is also a punishment. So, which would you prefer? Which would you prefer? Shirley, which would you prefer?
Of course, reward.
Of course, reward. This is very simple. The whole picture in the Bible shows this to us. Shows this to us. So if we are not faithful, what are we going to do? If we are not faithful, then we lose the reward. And the punishment of the Lord, according to his righteousness, is very severe. It's no joke. you are going to have a very hard time going through fire. Right? And that's why Paul warns us. Let us continue with what Paul says in 2 Corinthians. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Beginning in verse 9, maybe. Maybe let's take verse 9. So let's start with verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. We are confident, yes. Well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. In verse 9, it says, therefore we make it our aim. Praise the Lord. What is your aim? We make it our aim. We make it our goal. Whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. That means to do what He wants you to do, to be obedient to Him. Because, verse 10 is very important, there is a reason why Paul had this goal in mind, for we must, not we choose to be, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We must all appear, and Paul himself included. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And this is going to happen right here before the kingdom age when the Lord comes back. So be ready. Be ready. That each one may receive, not the unbelievers, okay? This is not for the unbelievers. This is for the believers. Remember this. Don't get mixed up. The unbelievers will not be judged here. The unbelievers will be judged here. In Revelation chapter 20. Okay? But here, no unbelievers here will be judged except those who are still alive when the Lord comes. But that's a totally different judgment. Now, for we must all, no exception. Don't think you are an exception. And Paul did not say, we must all, or you must all except me. He didn't say that. He said, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. You think Christians are all doing good things? You think all Christians are wonderful people? I don't think so. Knowing therefore the love of the Lord. You know, people like to talk about, oh, God is love, the love of the Lord. Oh, love one another. Love, 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 love. But Paul here talks about the what?
Terror.
Terror. Not just a little bit afraid. You know, terror is more than just something frightful, right? But the terror of the Lord. We persuade men. But we are well known to God. Better be. Because God knows everything. And I also trust that we are well known in your consciences as well. And this is important. See, today in the church life, don't do anything that displeases God. And don't be afraid of man. No. What can man do to you? Except excommunicate you. But as long as God receives you, that's fine. Okay, don't worry about what man can do to you. But you should know the terror of the Lord. And this is what Paul is telling us, right? And he tells us that our God is a consuming fire. Where is that? In Hebrews chapter 12, right? in Hebrews chapter 12. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 12 concerning the kingdom, which is the church, which is Zion. At the very end, verse 28, because the Lord is going to shake everything. Verse 27 says, now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things which are being shaken, as of things that are made. There are things which cannot be shaken, the spiritual, heavenly things of God, which cannot be shaken, may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving, praise the Lord, we are receiving. That means this receiving is a continuous receiving. We have not fully received yet. Notice the tense, you are receiving. Right? You are going to receive a degree. If you're still in college, you may be a freshman, I don't know, a sophomore, a junior, a senior. But even if you're a senior, you have not received a degree yet, but you are receiving. So we are receiving today a wonderful kingdom. And more each day, the kingdom of God today is inward, with his divine nature within us. It's Christ, the King himself, and his life within us. And the more he grows, the more he matures in us, the more he, like we sang in the song, permeates us through and through, the more the kingdom is being wrought into our being. The more you have a joy to obey him, to follow him, to do what pleases him. The more the kingdom is wrought into you, the more he reigns within your heart. So today the kingdom is inward, not outward. Don't try to rule Toronto today. They won't listen to you. You go to your mayor. Don't you know I'm the king? He will look at you. He will send you to a psychiatry somewhere. Right. Our ruling is inward. It's the Lord, the King, ruling within us, because his kingdom today is inward. And this is what the Lord said in the Gospel of Luke, because when the Jews were asking him, where is your kingdom? The Lord says, the kingdom of God does not come by observation with your eyes, but behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Because in the age of grace to build up his church, it is his church, his kingdom that he is building. His kingdom is not of this world, so the Lord has nothing to do with this world. But his kingdom today is his inward ruling in all of his people. And it all depends on whether you want to be ruled by him or not. Or do you want to just go your own way and everybody doing their own thing? And that is not God's kingdom. Definitely not. Definitely not. So the kingdom, the ruling of the Lord today is inward. And we are receiving this kingdom by letting the Lord take over every part of our being, including the renewing of our minds and the transformation of our souls to conform us into his image from glory to glory, so that when he appears, we will be qualified to appear with him in glory. If he appears in glory and you and I are in the flesh, in the shamefulness and corruption of the flesh, and not appear with him in glory, how are you going to reign with him? You tell me. You think our Lord is wishy-washy? No, he's not. He's a righteous, glorious, and holy God. Right. So here, it says here, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, praise the Lord, there's something that cannot be shaken. Amen. The more you grow, the more you will be like Zion, which cannot be shaken. As we have read in Psalm 125, I believe, they who trust in the Lord will be like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken. Praise God. Right. So the more you grow in life, the more sure you are in your heart. You cannot be shaken. It's not easily shaken today. If problems may come, it's all right. Well, who doesn't have problems? But the problems are not the problems, but you are the problem. If you can be shaken by the problems, then you are the problem. But if you are like Mount Zion that cannot be shaken, let any problem come. You still cannot be shaken. Look how much problems the Lord has had when he was on this earth. Did any problem shake him? If somebody wants to kill you, will you be shaken? Ooh, you'll be run away to California or somewhere, right? Back to Greece or somewhere in Athens in the mountains. Hide yourself. Did the Lord run away and hid? No. Nothing shook the Lord. Praise the Lord. He was not shaken by anything. Now, today, if the Lord as King is really ruling within us, and we mature in life, become one with him, the Word of God says we will be like Mount Zion. Come what may, let it come. You will not be shaken. As the psalmist says, he will not let your foot be moved. You'll be deeply rooted in him. So, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God. We have to serve God because we are his servants. Acceptably with reverence. Don't just do anything. No, honor him. Do what he wants. And what he wants is not hard because he is there to help you. With reverence and godly fear. Why? Verse 29, the last verse says, because our God is a consuming fire. This is the terror. That's why terror. On one hand, God is really love. No doubt about that. God is love. John, talking about life, he emphasized love and light. But in Hebrews, because we, the Christians, are holding back and even falling backwards. Afraid because we are being challenged by so much difficulties. And the Hebrews at that time were being persecuted. They couldn't hold a job. Nobody's going to buy and sell with them. They lost their homes, properties because of following Christ. Today, nothing's going to happen like that, right? It's just the messed up economy. No persecution. Nobody persecutes you, right? But, hey, in those days, they are being challenged and persecuted. Even some are killed. And, right? So many are thinking of shrinking back. And so the Hebrews were written. This book, this letter, was written to them to encourage them to be bold and to go on. Not to be easily shaken. And then he says, for our God is a consuming fire. That means there is judgment. Don't think to fall back is okay. No, it is not okay. Right. So may the Lord really strengthen us for his kingdom. Right. And one sister was asking me yesterday, last night, I don't know if she's listening to the live stream or not. I hope she is. KT, right? Your friend. What are the signs concerning the Lord's coming? What are the signs concerning the Lord's coming? Second coming. Very simple. Actually, it's not very complicated. It's simple. The first important sign that the Lord mentioned in the book of Matthew is concerning, and this is number one, right? I'll just write here. The first signs, I'll just write here, signs concerning the Lord's coming, right? Signs. The first signs concerning the fig tree. The fig tree, referring to the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel. We all know that the year 70 AD, because of Israel's rejecting the king, you know, the Jews, when Pontius Pilate says, "Behold your king," right? Remember, what did the Jews cry out? They were just crazy. They said, "We have no king except Caesar." You know, that is a very offensive word. You rejected the Christ, the King, God Himself, and you declare Caesar, the devilish one, to be your king. Oh. And then the second thing, they said, "Crucify him." That's the worst. More than stupid things that such a people would declare. So the Lord already knew and predicted that this nation is going to be fully destroyed, and the people killed, and brought into captivity, dispersed throughout the whole world. And it happened in year 70. You said your king is Caesar. Okay, I will bring a Roman Caesar here to destroy you. So Prince Titus came, destroyed. Not only Jerusalem, the whole nation was gone. You know, Josephus wrote that at that time in Jerusalem, there were so many crosses, because they killed people through crosses. There were so many crosses in Jerusalem that there was not one space left for one more cross. That was how terrible it was. And while the people were under siege, they had nothing to eat. They had to eat their own children. And then after the siege, when the army came in, so many Jews were killed. And then, good thing that the time was cut short, because the Caesar died in Rome, and Titus was to go back and be the Caesar. So the time was cut short, otherwise there won't be any left. Exactly according to the word of the Lord. So he brought back the best of the young people to be servants there in Rome. The rest were sold as slaves on the way and to Egypt, and the whole people were dispersed through all the nations. And Israel, as the kingdom, as a nation, the kingdom of God was wiped off the map of the world in year 70. Don't fool around with God. And the Lord says, such a punishment has not happened to any nation in the history of mankind. Serious thing. Serious thing. But then the Lord said, when you see this fig tree blossoming again, then you have to be aware that the Lord's coming is near. The summer is coming. That means this is the first sign of the season of the Lord's coming again. And that happened when? In 1948. 48. That was the first important sign that happened in 1948. This is really amazing. It happened in 1948. And then in Luke chapter 21, the second sign was concerning the city of Jerusalem. Then the Lord predicted that Jerusalem would be fully destroyed, trodden under the foot of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles is fulfilled. So, meaning to say that Jerusalem will be restored to the Jews. So, in AD 70, Jerusalem, of course, was fully destroyed. The temple, not one stone will remain on top of the other. Everything was destroyed. Then, when Jerusalem is fully recovered, returned to the Jews. It didn't happen in 1948. Just the west side, but not the east side of Jerusalem. But in 67, in the Six Days War, that's a very special time. I don't know if some of you were born there already. You're not born yet. I was a student in Freiburg at that time. And it happened in 1967, Jerusalem, in the Six Days War, was in a very miraculously, in a miraculous way, restored to the Jews. They won the war and recovered all the lands there. That practically what God had promised to the Jews. They recovered it. But the important sign is that the city of Jerusalem was fully restored. That was in 1967. Now the third sign and the last sign, the third and the last sign, is what? Is in Daniel chapter 9, 27. In Daniel chapter 9, 27, it is the peace treaty. PT. I call it PT. I always don't have a space to write it. The PT. When is it going to happen? Didn't happen yet. But you have to realize when it happened, the last week, the last 7 years is going to begin. That means you can count by the time the peace treaty is signed, there's going to be 7 years left. And in the middle of the 7 years, the last 3.5 years will be the Great Tribulation. This will happen right here. This will happen right here. So between this and this, there's going to be a time of 7 years. So there it is. And this 7 years will begin Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, when the peace treaty is signed. When is it going to happen? Your guess is as good as mine. But let me tell you, these 2 years, 2014 and 2015. You can check it up with NASA. NASA, you know NASA, right? You can check it up with NASA. There are going to be 4 lunar eclipses in this year and next year, which is rare in a sense. 4 lunar eclipses, one after another. And they call it tetrad. Tetrad. You probably know. It's probably a Greek word.
Yeah, it means four.
It means four. Yes, it means four. It's called tetrad. But this tetrad is very special. Why? Why is it very special? Because in this year, it's going to happen exactly the first one at the Passover Feast of the Jews, and the last one is going to happen exactly at the Feast of Tabernacles in October 8. So in April 15 is going to be the first total lunar eclipse, and in October 8, the second lunar eclipse. And then the following year, in 2015, another two lunar eclipse is going to happen, and exactly also in the Passover and in the Feast of the Tabernacles, which is April 4 and September 27 of next year. No, isn't that a coincidence? Yeah. Four lunar eclipses. But even more strange is that the past four, the past three such tetrad that happen exactly in the feasts of the Jewish religion, it happened in the last 500 years, the first time in 1493 to 94. And in this year, Columbus discovered America. The New World was discovered. It's significant, because without discovering the New World, we won't be here today. And you have to realize that America, North America, is very significant for the existence of Israel. That's point number one. This was the first tetrad in the last 500 years. Of course, there are more previously, but we're talking about the last 500 years. And the second tetrad that happened exactly the Passover feast and Feast of Tabernacle, etc., the second, guess when it happened? In 1948-49. Yeah. This was the second tetrad. And guess when the third one happened? Guess. 1967-68, that's the third tetrad. That's the end of the meeting today. That's the end of the meeting today. What else can I say? Do you want me to say more? I don't think you'd like me to say more. And I have no more to say. I have no more to say. But we're talking about the kingdom. We're talking about the kingdom. Right. So it is very hard for us to say, you know, what is going to happen. And if I were not mistaken, the next tetrad will happen maybe 8 years from 2015. Right? So here, I don't know if this peace treaty is going to happen in this tetrad. I don't know. Nobody knows. But let me tell you, the next one is not too far away. Okay. So, I'm saying this not as a prophet. I'm not a prophet. It's such a predicting the future. No, I don't do that. But I'm just warning everybody that we are living in a very strange time today. And that the Lord's coming is nearer and nearer. main thing is that we should be ready for his coming. If you don't care, then you don't care. It doesn't matter. You say, I don't believe it. Doesn't matter whether you believe or not. You know, your believing or not believing will not change the situation. God exists whether you believe it or not. He exists. People believe, well, there is no God. Eh? It doesn't mean that there is no God. You can be an atheist and didn't believe in God, but God still exists. Well, if you don't believe I exist, it's up to you. I'm still existing, whether you believe it or not. Sorry. I exist regardless whether you believe it or not. Right? It doesn't depend on people's believing that God exists, so he existed. No, he exists. Now, that this peace treaty is going to take place, it will take place whether you believe it or not. Kerry and the Palestinians and the Jews, they were working so hard. And the last news is that they are trying to come up with a framework for peace in April. That's their goal, to come out with a framework. And if that framework works and accepted, then they said it'll take about a year for them to work out the details, and a year later they're going to sign it. Well, I don't know whether it's going to happen or not, but it might and it might not. But it is just strange. It is just very strange. So this is not to scare us, but to encourage us to give our hearts to the Lord and to love the Lord and to learn to give ourselves to him. Tell the Lord, Lord, I give myself to you for your purpose, for your kingdom, for the building up of your church. Help us, because the time is so short. Don't fool around. It's not good to fool around. Right? We are not here playing church. No. We don't do that. At least I won't do that. And, may the Lord have mercy on us to stir up our inner man, our spirit, and to pray for the church. You're here in Toronto. Pray the Lord will build up his kingdom, a glorious church right here in Toronto. It doesn't depend on the size, on the numbers. No. Even the Lord himself, when he was on this earth, he only gained in the day of Pentecost 120 people. That's not very many. And you're almost there, 120. 50%, right? No, not yet. Doesn't matter. But what I meant is that you don't have to have that many. But if you consider the whole world there, those who are really standing for this testimony, there are quite a few. Right. So may the Lord have mercy on all of us. Don't be distracted. There are many things we don't need. Just drop it. Doesn't matter. It's not worth it. Go for the gold. Praise the Lord. We are going for the real gold, right? Amen. Let's sing that short song again.